Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Given how many experts and wannabe experts have come out of the woodwork ever since President-elect Obama said he and his wife were thinking about getting a puppy for his daughters, it seemed to me I better get out there and get my 2 cents worth in before they did something they regretted. From a historical perspective, presidential dogs and puppies have not fared very well. And with people like me who are very interested in animal behavior and the human-animal bond, what the failures of the presidential dogs communicate is a lot about the limitations or the failures of the system in which those dogs exist. Based on past history, the White House environment is not a particularly dog-friendly environment. There are apparently a lot of people in that environment, both intimately involved within the White House, such as the White House staff, and also tangentially involved, such as the press corps, who knows zip about normal dog behavior. We have had presidential dogs who have been banned because they weren't housebroken or possibly marking, but the people in charge couldn't tell the difference. We have had dogs who have had medical problems. We have had unruly, literally untrained dogs who jumped on people and ultimately took off and got hit by cars. We have had presidents who were so unknowledgeable about dogs that they considered it acceptable, not only acceptable to pick up a dog by his ears, but also to apparently sincerely maintain that the dog enjoyed it. And we have had dogs who bite. In the blog that goes with this podcast, I've included a link to a YouTube segment showing President Bush's dog, Barney, biting someone. If you look at that dog, if you look at that dog's body language, if you look at the leash, if you look at everything about that dog, it's just practically screaming, "I am a fear biter, I'm stressed to the max, I want out of here." And then if you listen to the way the press corps is interacting with that dog,
Barney,
is Miss Beasley sleeping?
Yeah. Nap time for her.
Hey, you doing?
Go on.
Ooh.
Did he get you?
Do I?
He totally got me.
Did he?
Oh my God.
Totally broke my skin.
And I suspect that if we looked at the body language that goes along with the verbal message you're communicating to the dog, they might as well have held up a sign to Barney that said, "Bite me." But they didn't see it. And either no one on the White House staff saw it, or they didn't do anything about it. So frankly, right now, I think that what the Obamas should do is to ignore all of those offers of free purebreds. And I really must question whether the Obamas are on the right track when they are discounting the possibility that a nice modern mongrel might really be the best thing. Just might be time for change, folks. The purebred gene pools are getting narrower and narrower and narrower, and the breeds are having more and more problems. And a dog in an environment, extremely complex environment like the White House, is going to need a nice, diverse gene pool. So I'd like the Obamas to ignore all of those offers from people seeking glamour and self-promotion for their breed or their specialty or whatever. For now, just ignore them. Get settled into your new home and see what happens with the kids over the next year. Yes, they want a puppy now, but there's going to be a lot happening. They're going to be going to a new school. They're going to be meeting new friends. The activities of the first family are going to be more extensive. Even though you try to shelter them, it's still going to be there. this is a choice that you want to think about. So that would be my advice right now. Never say never, but take your time, because history will remember you. I don't want to remember you, President Obama, as yet another president whose dog communicates to me that he or she lacks leadership skills. I'm tired of that. There have been too many. It's time for a change.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.